You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today will be Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd add Your blessing to the reading of this, Your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for His sake. Amen.
You know, it's interesting how oftentimes a Sunday school lesson and the church main topic, and then even on Sunday night, how everything kind of dovetails and kind of fits. Yesterday morning, we were in St. Louis, and we had visited across the river there from the Arch. There is a new Illinois State Museum on Lewis and Clark. Now, to bring to your mind, this is the 200th anniversary of the Lewis and Clark expedition. And what's interesting, this morning in Sunday school, Joe was reading some of a book, bringing it to the forefront as far as Thomas Jefferson and his children. Well, see, Jefferson was the president that commissioned the Lewis and Clark expedition with great foresight. Tremendous. And I don't know if you haven't read the book, Stephen Ambrose's book, Undaunted Courage. I finished that a while back. And I think it's a real good account. It really brings to the forefront, too, the interest of what was going on and what those men and that company went through. But not only that, the overall picture of the hand of the Lord on the United States in that point in time. See, when that Louisiana Purchase was accomplished by Jefferson, it more than doubled the size of the United States. And it's interesting, in before the men left on their journey, I think, I forget which one, which commander it was that used the phrase, if nothing prevents. You know, if it be the Lord's will, so to speak. They were very, going out, getting ready to launch out into a journey that they did not know if they'd return or not. And very interesting. And so anyway, let's begin with prayer. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity this morning to come aside from the hurry and rush of things and the things of everyday life that we might have this time in Your Word. And Father, we do pray that the Holy Spirit would take Your word this morning and work in our hearts and be the teacher, Lord, and because these other things of man are for naught, we realize that. We do pray that You rebuke the enemy at this time, that not have him have his way as far as confusion, but that Your Son, Christ Jesus, would be glorified in this study. For it's in His name we ask these graces. Amen. And Luke 1:1 states, says here that for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us. Those things which are most assuredly believed among us. So I thought I'd use a little bit of time this morning to review what's it talking about, these things believed among us. Of course, by way of application, Christ told His disciples in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross, right? Take up his cross and follow Me. And like I say, by way of application, in living out our faith in this day and age is what I want to talk a little bit about. You know, we live in a time that a lot of individuals are very anti-God, aren't they? They're very anti-Christ. And in our culture at this time, matter of fact, it's not only are they that way, they are in your face about it. Probably more than we've ever seen in any of our lifetimes, I would dare to say. Really, it's in your face if you take a Christian stand. It's not only the monument in Alabama or in the bulletin this morning about the Bible near the courthouse or whatever in Houston. It's just that way. It's in your face. So we had better not only know about Bible truths, but we also need to know how to defend biblical truth. Otherwise, it's not good enough to know what was said by one of our teachers here, by Derek, myself, or Champ, Chris, whatever, Joe. We might remember what was said, but we better remember what authority it was based on. It would really help if we kind of knew where it was, okay, to be able to present that to others. You know, it's just like the sign out front, the forbade out front that was put up by Mac years ago. Prepare for your finals, you know, study the Bible. That's really true. We have to be grounded, of course, on that. And once we're grounded in these truths, that, you know, no one can take them from us. And just as I know many accounts of POWs we've read about, Vietnam, Korea, and whatnot, individuals that had the Word of God ingrained by memory, there's nothing they could do. They couldn't take them from them. And remember, who's the gentleman that wrote Tortured for Christ? Pastor, what's his name? Wernbrand? Yeah, he was incarcerated, you know, a preacher of the gospel, incarcerated by the communists, but he persevered because he had the Word, you know, ingrained in him, and a tremendous man of God. Well, when dealing with people, well, just with individuals, I think we talked about this a little bit some Thursday morning. In one of our Bible study, men Bible studies. You know, when you're dealing with a person, you don't need to argue as far as, you know, the existence of God. Because if you're dealing with someone like that, you might as well forget it. We're getting ready to kick off the essential Bible biblical truths tonight. And Leland makes a good point in that. Says, if you need to look at what the Bible, does the Bible deal with the existence of God, argue the case? No. He points out Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. There's no argument about the existence of God, is there? God doesn't argue about his existence. Of course, you know the reason for that? Psalm 14:1. A fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's God's definition of a fool. And I really don't think God wants us to waste our time with the fools as far as a witness. Right? Really doesn't. You know, our founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence have kind of put it in this way. And you'll remember this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they are endowed by their Creator. See, they recognize the Creator right off the bat, with certain inalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and property. And earlier in the Declaration, just a sentence or two earlier, it says, in the document they state that the laws of nature and of nature's God set forth these things. So it's self-evident. You know, they don't spend time about, you know, is there a God? Malarkey. Sure there is. And why could they say that? Because all creation speaks of a Creator. All of his creation points to him. Otherwise, the existence of God is a given. If you decide to argue with a fool, you'll soon determine that it's hard to tell who's the fool. And that's really true, so don't get caught up in that one. Psalms 119:160 states, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Other scriptures also speak of God's creation revealing His existence. And many of you will recall Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Entire creation speaks of Him and points to Him. Turn to Romans, if you would. Chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll start at verse 18. We'll read a few of these verses. Dealing here, we have verse 16, that wonderful key verse. I remember in the study of the Romans years ago that this is one of the key verses of the book. 16, as far as Paul's gospel. And he states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And then, of course, that dispensational verse to the Jew first and also the Greek. But look down at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness," or who suppress the truth. So these fellows that suppress the truth, and don't care what walk of life it's in, if they're suppressing truth and they hold, you know, they're going against God. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Of course, the next verse of these people that, they profess themselves to be wise, but what? They became fools. "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into the lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And of course, the result of that, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections." You may think, well, how do we know that, as God stated in verse 21, that because that when they knew God, how do we know that they knew God? How do we know, understand that they knew of God? You see, each person, each individual on this earth, everyone has a conscience. God has given every soul a conscience to start with. And basically, they know right from wrong. The conscience. Of course, that conscience can be seared. You know, then some bad things, you know, they're turned over to reprobate mind and some horrible things happen. But that's the way it is. If you look at Romans 2, verses 14 through 16. Verse 14, Romans 2, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts," and here it is, "their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another." So everyone has a conscience to be dealt with. You know, it always comes back to the simple biblical truth that our ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not our ways. And that's what it comes back to. And based on His truth, we are very, very susceptible to error. It's just the way it is. And then you have the master enemy, Satan himself, is the founder, you know, head of the lie to confuse also. If you will, turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressingly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or planetary spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, that's certain foods actually, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And champ will enjoy this one, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Especially, we point that out, don't we, champ? But it does profit a little bit, but only a little. Also, in conjunction with Colossians 2:8, and I'll just read there. Colossians 2:8, and you'll remember this: beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So what it amounts to, we are so susceptible in this life, apart from the Word of God, to following error. Things sound so wonderful. I mean, it's so easy to be deceived. So the point I'd like to make this morning is that in strengthening or building our faith is essential to our spiritual welfare, that we must do it. And of course, it is the same now as it has always been. And there are no shortcuts in the matter. And that's growing in the Word and understanding it. Because we know that what? Faith, Romans 10:17 states that faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've heard that, and we know that, and can quote that. But it is so vital that we understand it. That as we hear it, and of course we think on it, and we memorize it, bombard ourselves with it, then it will become a part and parcel of us. And of course by doing that, we gain a closer walk with Christ. And that's why it is so important, as maybe we come in contact with new Christians, just like here, and Champ and I were talking this morning about, it is so vital that new Christians understand where to start. You know, that to bring them along with a desire to have a yearning for the Word of God, or at least a hunger for it, to grow them up. And, only as we adhere to the 2 Timothy 2:15, to show thyself approved unto God, will we be strong in understanding, good, strong, sound Bible doctrine. That's the only way to do it. Of course, another word for doctrine is merely teaching. We have to understand the sound teaching. So when we come in contact, especially with other Christians, topics arise to be understand how to meet the different objections and whatnot. Now, obviously, many of the headlines in the paper, controversies, different denominations and such today, an individual that has any of the slightest, a babe in Christ, will know the difference between, for example, should homosexuals be ordained. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a mature Christian to understand that goes contrary to the Word of God. That's not too hard, is it? But there are other things, many other things, that, you know, it can be a challenge. And Matthew 7:28 states that the people were astonished. One reason the people were so astonished concerning Christ was what? His doctrine. Because it wasn't like the scribes and Pharisees, religious people. His doctrine was what? It was truth. It was sound. And Christ spoke with what? Total authority. Because it was truth. So they were astonished. The normal person was astonished. You know, and you don't have to be a seminary student, that type of thing, that the Scripture is so well-balanced. I think the way Mac used to put it, you know, the positive and negative, it's so balanced. There's a balance in Scripture that, you know, God loves, God is love, and yet at the same time He hates. But there's a balance there, just like a coin. And it's so important to keep that balance, isn't it? Our charge, primarily, of course, the scriptural truth of Christ's preaching is that was from one of authority. Of course, our charge, primarily from the Apostle Paul, was that to labor and to know sound doctrine. And you'll be familiar with some of these verses, but let's look at them. Turn to them anyway. 2 Timothy 3:16 first. And let me see. It's right behind here on the of the podium. Of course, that we do understand that all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God. Otherwise, it's the mind of God written down in book form, His communication to us. That simple. But it is profitable for what? For the doctrine. So here again we have the doctrine that Christ, He amazed those of the flesh in those days with His doctrine, and here that all Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for the doctrine, then we can apply it for what? Reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's turn back to 1 Timothy now. Pointing out some verses that show doctrine and how important it is. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they do what? They teach no other doctrine. Also in 1 Timothy, chapter 4, 6 through 8. Hear the Apostle Paul instruction, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, what, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Stressing doctrine once again. Also chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It's so vitally important. So verse after verse. Continue in chapter 5. Verses 17 through 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I think he's trying to make a point here about doctrine. You bet he is. oh, well, doctrine is, you know, causes such division. I was a good friend of mine was telling another friend, a mutual friend of ours, this mutual friend asked this good friend of mine, who fellowships at a church that, let's just say, would not rightly divide as we consider it. The friend asked him, he says, well, what do you think about the Acts 28 position? The answer was, well, it's such a narrow view. Yeah, but what do you think about it? Never would give him an answer. After all, it is such a narrow view. Now think about that. You know, how many verses are there also that, you know, is the way of the Lord narrow or wide? You know, for salvation. It's definitely not politically correct that when you go out on the, you know, in circles today and say that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, and, you know, apart from Him, there's no other way. Now, that's not a too popular stance today, is it? But is it truth? It sure is, according to the Word of God. Is that narrow? I'd say it's pretty narrow. And yet, God's desire is that, what? That all men come to the knowledge, saving knowledge, yeah, and the mystery, but all men come to the knowledge that Christ, His desire is that all be saved. That's His desire. Turn to Titus. Let's look there also. And in Titus chapter 1, he also stresses a little bit of on doctrine. Verses 7 through 9. Of course, this is the qualifications of a bishop here, or overseer of the church. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-will, not soon to anger, soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the word of faith as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. So here's another verse out of Titus that points us to sound doctrine. Doctrine has to be sound, has to measure up, rightly divided. Turn to the book of James. By way of application here, we know that this is, of course, written to the 12 tribes and all, but by way of application, I think there's some real merit here and value to James chapter 1 as far as admonishing even us as far as our walk. And let's start at verse 17. A real basic, non-dispensational verse here, that every good and perfect gift is from above. It was true then, it's true now, it always has been true. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, it just doesn't work that way, does it? The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Here's a point I want to make. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So basically, you know, we are to be doers, not only just hearers, but as we take this truth, apply the doctrine in our everyday life, we're to be not only hearers of it, but doers. Otherwise, if our life was examined, if we're put up to trial for being a Christian, would we be guilty or not? Of course, I'd hope to know, think that we would obviously be guilty. And may God just give us the strength to be that witness that He would have us to be as we live out this word around our friends, around our family, and our associates and such as that in our life. You know, because actually our lives are supposed to be what? A reflection of His truth as we've understood this book, ingrained it in our life, and stated in His Word. You know, that our walk would be so in our actions with others, that others might see His grace and His love in us, as frail as this flesh is, and the mistakes are made. But if we do it, in Ephesians 2:10, let's turn there as we, of course, this is 8 and 9, or state that, how our salvation is. It's by His grace. But always remembering in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, always calling to mind for us that we are what? His workmanship. Okay, well, if we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto those good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, okay, then as we're walking in those good works, the Holy Spirit will enable others to see Christ lived out through our lives as we're walking in those good works. Because, after all, whose business is it that they see Christ? It's the Holy Spirit's business. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Also, Ephesians chapter 5. Start verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, and read some of these verses. That we're admonished to let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But we're encouraged, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Well, if we're the light, we're to walk as children of light. For through the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I know God needs to work out that verse. Just think about that we're not to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, that can be a tough line. You know, we have dear friends, loved ones, maybe doing the wrong thing or whatever. But yet, we're not to have the fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. And how are we better to do that? We better do it in love. And it's not that maybe we don't love the person that's doing something like that. We always love them, but maybe you don't love what they're doing. But we're not to have the fellowship with it. And why? For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Think of our culture 50 years ago and now. Think of what was not acceptable and talk in the back room and what's on the tube today. It's incredible. But we can't be caught up in it. We have to stand firm in the Lord's truth. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seek then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And that is so important. So these, if we take a stand, you want to do it in love, and you want to be real wise about it when we take that stand. You know, otherwise, it, condemning something with heat without light is not profitable. So I'm saying, you know, it's real easy to go out in this world and start, you know, look at this, look at that, whatever. Creates a lot of heat, and you may be right, but is that the light that needs to be brought forth? No, I don't think so. Now, there's a time for that, of course, but it says that we need to be wise. See, then we walk circumspectly, not as fools, as wise. And why? Because redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That we be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Because after all, whose work is being accomplished here? Well, we hope the Holy Spirit, so as we surrender in our witness in working with those that we know or whatever, or in business or whatever, that Christ will be glorified. And so as we, you know, as we live out our convictions, as long as they're grounded in the Word and they're grounded in love and the action is in love, that we have the promise that God will accomplish, you know, what He wants to accomplish in our lives. And then, you know, the Lord will be seen through us. But anyway, let's go ahead and close. Father, we are so thankful for your Son and what He has done for us. Father, and we pray as throughout the week that as we live our lives in whatever framework that it's in, as we know, Father, we are a showcase for the angelic host and, you know, witness for others, that our lives would honor your Son. Father, we pray that you give us the words to say and the sensitivity to use those words in this walk. Father, we pray for a nation, as mentioned here, as far as the culture, how it's going the wrong way. But at the same time, Lord, we know that at this time there's all kinds of time and wonderful opportunities for witnessing your truth. For these truths are unending, and we just praise you for them. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.